Amen. I'm going to read Joshua chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 13. I don't know if they have it. I gave them verse 14. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" Everybody say, "Are you for us?" Everybody say, "Or." Okay, now, you know as well as I know, the word "or" creates a contrast. He's saying it's either this or it's that. He said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Everybody say, "For our adversaries." Okay, so Joshua asked a question. Are you for us or are you for them? It's two parts to a question, and that's the end of the story. Verse 14, and he said, "Nay." Everybody say, "Nay." "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" I want to preach from the words of the man with the sword. "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord." Amen. Why don't we lift up our hands all over the house? Let's pray before we go any further that the Lord would speak to us. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I know you know how to shout. I know you know how to use your voice, so why don't you lift up your voice and pray right now? Oh, hallelujah! Come on, I need you to touch heaven right now. Come on, ask the Lord to move right now. In the name of Jesus, we're asking you to move in this house tonight. God, we're asking you to touch people in this house tonight. God, we've not just gathered here to go through the motions, but Lord, we want your word to find good ground. Change us tonight, Lord. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say this before I get started preaching so that you understand what I'm doing tonight. I do not believe that the young people gathered here are ignorant, okay? I don't believe that you're not capable, that you're just a dumb teenager. I don't believe that. I want you to know the preacher don't believe that you're a dumb teenager, okay? Amen. I'm saying this for a reason. I don't believe that you don't have the capacity to use your brain to process through the things of God. Amen. It's okay. I'm not against you tonight. I want to tell you, I believe that you have purpose. And I believe that you have meaning in the kingdom of God. I believe that God has blessed you with capacity, with intelligence. Amen. You were created in the image of God. And the image of God is never a thing to be shunned. I don't believe that you're ignorant. So I'm not going to preach down to you. Like I think that you're ignorant, okay? I'm not going to stand here tonight like I'm so disconnected from you and I'm just up here to tell you what to do. But I'm also not going to preach down to you like you can't understand the deep things of the Word of God. Because I believe that you're intelligent. Amen. We're talking to a generation, and maybe I'm talking to the parents, I don't know, but we're talking about a generation that's figured out every single new coding language and app that comes out on the phone. They'll have it figured out as it's dropping. They're the research and development of our world today. They're not ignorant. Amen.
Well, glory.
With that, we don't have to water down the Word of God to this generation. Come on, young people, can you receive the Word of God tonight? Amen. I'm in your corner. I remember being a young person and let's do this. Everybody know Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho, yeah. Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. Okay, y'all know that, right? That's the Sunday school version. They walked around the walls and then the walls fell. okay? I ain't going to preach to you the Sunday school version of this story. I'm going to preach to you that have a brain on a Friday night and have purpose. Come on, I'm going to preach the Friday night youth service version with some deep things of God. So I said all that to say this. Stay with me for the next few minutes. Is that all right? Amen. Can you use your thinker tonight? Stay with me. Amen. And don't just write off this story like Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Okay? There's more to it. Sister Emma, it's good to see you tonight. Amen. Amen. There's more to it than just that. Because you're dealing with a man that's just like, he's a human, just like you are and just like I am. Amen. He's dealing with insecurities, and he's dealing with emotions, and he's dealing with you could say, flaws, and feeling like he's unworthy or incapable of doing all that God has called him to do. You're talking about a man that's a human just like you are. Imagine if tonight the responsibility of a congregation of 6 million people was placed solely on your shoulders, and the commandment was given to you to go into a land. You've lived in a tent for the past 40 years as you wandered in a wilderness, and now the commandment of God to you is to take your feet and your hands and possess a land that has giants in it and that has walled cities and fenced cities. You don't have any weapon. You don't have any engines of war like they would create as the kingdom was established. These people, they weren't really a marching army. They were kind of just like vagabonds, just following their God through the wilderness. And so they're people, and they don't feel like they can do it. Amen. This is a man that's faced with a battle. Now, the manna has ceased at this point. Right before he goes to survey the battlefield of Jericho, the manna from heaven that sustained them in the wilderness has ceased. Amen. So now they're living off of the sustenance of the land of Canaan. And he's facing this city. Now, I've heard many things about the walls of Jericho, and I looked up images today of what they believe those walls would have looked like. And it's believed that there was kind of like a mount to a retaining wall that was the outer wall. And then there was a gap between the outer wall and the inner wall, which was actually a bigger wall. And I've heard some people say that chariots could have driven across the top of the walls of Jericho. These weren't no little walls. These weren't sheetrock walls like what's in the church building tonight. These were impenetrable, insurmountable walls. These were impossibilities in these people's lives. Amen. And yet they were commanded to go into the land of Canaan and to possess the land. And here lies the first city, the city of Jericho. And so you have a man, and he is a man. And so as humanity does, and I don't want to be offensive when I say this, but as humanity does, he is the center of his own world. His problems are the biggest problems that have ever happened in humanity. Have you ever felt like that? Amen. Everybody can be dealing with the same problem, but your problem is the worst problem that's ever been dealt with. It's just in humanity where we're created in the image of God, and God really is the center of the universe. And so we've got this complex within us that when we face a giant, or when we face a wall, or when we face a trial, it's like there's nothing else in the entire world but the problem that we're facing. We have this flaw that focuses in on the issue. Everybody say the issue. We focus in on the issue, and we can't really see everything that's going on around us. And so a lot of times we get to feeling alone when we're dealing with these problems, and we get to feeling like nobody understands, or that there's no hope, or there's no help. And yes, we believe that God can do it, but like Pastor preached the other night, we believe God can do it for everybody else. And so you have a man of God, but he's faced with this complex. He has a problem, and he's trying to figure out the reason he goes to this city on this night is because he's trying to figure out how to conquer the city. He is surveying a battlefield. Amen. I listened to the scripture as I drive at times, and I was listening to the Gospels. I had the guy reading it to me with the great voice and the British accent, and I kept hearing something as he read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then on into John. What I kept hearing, and I'll just give you an example so we understand the principle as we go forward. Jesus gets in a boat with his disciples, and he tells them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven is yeast, okay? That's what leaven is. That's an old English word for yeast. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples get all convicted because they forgot to bring bread, okay? And they were conceiving or perceiving what God was saying to them by what they knew they had done or not done. Jesus wasn't talking to them about physical bread. As a matter of fact, he rebukes them and says, do you not remember the miracle that I performed with the 5,000, the two fish and the five loaves? I don't need your bread. I can do this myself. Don't get all sketched out because you forgot bread. But they were hearing Jesus, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they thought he was saying it because they forgot to bring bread. Okay, so first of all, do not make the mistake of interpreting the Word of God by your character flaws. Because you'll miss it every single time. Amen. I just feel this in my spirit. I didn't intend to say this. But if you start interpreting the Word of God or even the preaching while the man of God is preaching, if you start interpreting it by your shortcomings and your flaws, then the devil has stolen the seed straight out of your heart. The devil will convince you that the man of God is coming after you and he's just being mean to you just by your shortcomings. But if you can... Hallelujah. So before we go any further, we need to understand something tonight. And really for the rest of our lives, we need to get out of our own head when it comes to the things of God. God is not speaking to you because of what you did or didn't do. He's speaking to you because of what you can or cannot become. The reason he told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, is because he didn't want them to become like the Pharisees. And when they internalized and it became about bread to them, he said, you missed it. I was talking about doctrine all along. Don't let their doctrine get into you. Beware of their doctrine. But because they had forgot bread, all they could hear was, we're being rebuked, you know, sideways slapped because we forgot bread. Okay. And the devil uses that against people. And he especially uses that against young people. Amen. Because you come to church. You come to church and you've got real issues. You got real problems. You got real things going on in your life. And I know a lot of people. I know a lot of adults. Maybe they're so far disconnected from being young that they don't understand. I'm not that old, okay? I'll say that. I'm with you. Amen. And so I understand that sometimes it seems like people can downplay the issues that you're dealing with. But then the man of God gets up to preach and the Word of God begins to go forth. And it's right down your alley. But somehow it gets it. You're so convicted and condemned at the same time. Let me tell you the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation drives you away from God. And conviction pulls you to God. Amen. That's why there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. But if you ever lose conviction, you ain't gonna be in Christ. Amen. And so the devil condemns you as the word of God is going forth, and he uses what you have done or not done, your shortcomings, your flaws against you. I just want to tell you, okay, and maybe this will rattle some people's beliefs about the solar system, okay, but the earth is not the center of the universe, okay? I don't even know. It's like the third or fourth in line away from the sun. But I know the sun don't revolve around the earth. The earth revolves around the sun. Why? Because God was trying to get humanity to understand you're not the center of the universe. I feel the Holy Ghost coming on right now. The problem with you thinking that you're the center of the universe is that if you believe you're the center of the universe, when you get in the middle of the problem, you'll be seeking for an external, what you believe to be smaller God, to step into your situation to fix it for you. He showed us, you're not the center of this deal. I'm the center of this deal. The psalmist David would say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnification don't make the object bigger. It makes it bigger in your eyesight. It ain't what. Oh, help me. Magnification don't make it any bigger or smaller. It's about how you see it. And so he said, come magnify the Lord with me. What that's saying is, when you feel like your problem is so big, you need to change your perspective. You need to change the way you view God. God, help us right now. Come on, young people, clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I didn't say all that to be mean. I said it because you need the revelation that we're not the center of the universe. Amen. We're not. And God did that on purpose. Now, we are his most special and precious creation. But we are not the center of the universe. And the reason we need to understand that is because if, like I said, you think you're the center of the universe, then the problem that's overcoming you, you can't believe God can overcome it. Amen. The fact of the matter is that God is, he ain't just the center of the universe. He's the creator of the universe. Amen. He didn't put himself in it. He made it. And he put it where it's at. As a matter of fact, it says the heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Not just a place for him to stomp his feet, but he was wanting you to understand everything you're dealing with is beneath me. Meaning, as big as it seems in the middle of your world, you got to understand I'm still bigger. I'm still above. God help us. Amen. And so we have a perfect case in point in Joshua's life. He is the center of his own universe. And he's facing. Now, I'm not saying this bad about Joshua. We're going somewhere with this. This is a human issue, not a Joshua issue. It's a human issue. And so he is facing Jericho. And now I'm of the mind that he was Joshua as a man. I'm going to use a term that's probably even older than y'all. It was cool when I was a kid. It was Joshua is a savage. Okay. Joshua sees an angel with a sword in his hand. And he struts up to him and says, are you for us or are you for them? Okay, now, I don't know the last time you saw an angel with a sword drawn in its hand. But I don't know if I would be man enough to walk up to an angel with a sword in its hand and ask it whose side it's on. Amen. You have to understand that there was a great and powerful fighter within Joshua. And so he walks to this angel and he says, are you for us or are you for them? Amen. He was ready to fight right then and there. But the answer to the question is so important. Because the angel, remember, y'all said it. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? That's either or question. That's one of two things. And the angel says, no. Everybody say no. Okay, so I need you to understand this. And this is the best way I know. Forgive me, Madison. Okay, my wife, if we're wanting to go eat, we're trying to figure out the restaurant. And so I'll say, do you want to go to Wingstop or do you want to go to such and such? And she'll say, yeah, that's fine. Okay, that's not the answer to the question. Yes is not a viable answer to an either or question. I gave you two things and you have to answer one or the other. That does not answer my question. If I say, you know, Texas Roadhouse or Wingstop and she says, yeah, that does not answer the question. It's either or. Amen. And so this happens with this angel. Joshua says, are you for us or are you for them? And the angel says, no. That doesn't answer the question. But then the angel answers his own question. He says, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. Okay, now this is where it goes from Sunday school to Friday night, okay? You have to understand. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to say this. If your pastor teaches different than what I say about this right now, he's right and I'm wrong. Okay, a lot of people say this was the angel of the Lord. I don't believe it was the angel of the Lord. If your pastor teaches that, he's right, I'm wrong. Okay, we good on that? The angel, this man with the sword drawn, tells him no. But as the captain, the Hebrew word sar, as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. Okay, the Bible says Joshua falls down and he worships. Now, Joshua has spent time in the presence of the Lord. He stayed in the tabernacle when Moses left the tabernacle. He stayed and dwelt in the glory of God. Joshua knows what the angel of the Lord is like. He's been there. And so now there's this man, and this man says, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. If you look up the phrase host of the Lord, every single time, this is just a second note. Every single time you see the phrase captain and host in the Old Testament, it's referring to somebody other than the king. There's always a king, and then there's a captain of the host, which is like the general of the army. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, he says, but Michael, one of the chief princes, it's the English word princes, but the Hebrew word there is once again, sar. He said, Michael, one of the chief sars or captains came to help while the prince of Persia was fighting against me. You have to understand, in Daniel, there's a spiritual battle raging. Daniel is praying for answers to real problems that he's facing. And the devil is trying to fight against his answer, making it to him. But lo, Michael, one of the chief captains or one of the chief princes, comes and he fights against the prince of Persia, and Daniel gets his answer. Amen. Okay, I promise we're going somewhere. So Joshua is there beside Jericho and he sees this man. This man says, I am not come for you and I am not come against you. I am come as the captain of the host of the Lord. Now, why is this so important? Because this is the moment where an angel tells a man that is dealing with one of the most difficult situations of his entire life. The angel says, I'm not here about you. I'm here about him. Now, why is that so important? Because this is where the angel tells Joshua, this ain't your fight. This is his fight. And I'm here for him. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now in this house. You have to understand that hundreds of years before, God made a promise to a man by the name of Abraham. He said, your seed will possess this land. As a matter of fact, it's during a what the Bible calls a horror of great darkness. It's a vision in the black dark of night. It's happening, and there's a lamp passing between the sacrifices. And this dread and this horror is upon Abraham. And the Lord begins to speak to him. He said, listen, you cannot have this land right now, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Everybody say, it's not full yet. The reason Abraham could not possess the land of Canaan is because the iniquity of the Amorites was not full yet. It had nothing to do with Abraham. If the iniquity of the Amorites had been full in Abraham's day, Abraham could have, as one man, possessed the promised land. Amen. You think I'm joking. He took just his servants and beat five kings, okay? The kings that literally... They took captive everything in Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. Abraham takes just his servants and defeats all of those kings and their armies. Abraham could have defeated the promised land by himself through the power of God. But the iniquity of the Amorites wasn't full yet. And so God said, your people are going to go down into a land and they're going to serve the people. They're going to be afflicted there. And then after 400 years, I'm going to bring them out. And I am going to judge the nation that afflicted them. And then I'm going to bring your seed into this land, and they will possess this land. Why am I saying all this? Because Joshua could not see from his perspective that the Battle of Jericho wasn't about Joshua. The Battle of Jericho was the fulfillment of every promise that God had given to Abraham, that God had given to Isaac, that God had given to Jacob, whose name would be changed to Israel. The battle of Jericho was about the judgment upon the Amorites for their iniquity. The possessing of the land of Canaan was about their iniquity. It was about the abominations that they had performed within the promised land. That's why the servants, when they came back, the spies, they said, it's a land that speweth out the inhabitants thereof. They looked at the land and they said, it's literally spewing out its inhabitants. Yes, it was, because God was making it do it. Yes. Amen. And so this is what I've come to preach tonight, and I'm so much closer to being done than you think. Amen. The truth is, Joshua was faced with an absolutely impossible situation for him, not understanding that really everything that's happening in this battle, everything that's happened from Egypt all the way through the wilderness, Sinai, everything that's happened through the crossing of the Jordan, everything that's happened so far is just God doing his work. And I'm the guy that gets to watch it happen. Amen. Amen. The reason I've said this to you is because there are people all over this house, and you are facing walls, and you are facing situations, and you are facing issues, and you feel like there is no hope of ever winning the battle that you're fighting right now. But I came to tell you in the Holy Ghost that the battle that you're facing, the issue that you're facing, it's not yours to fight alone. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost right now in this house. Amen. The situation that has had you so bound up and kept you captive, and you've wanted to get out in the aisle and shout, and you've wanted to lift up your hands, and you've wanted to stomp your feet, and you've wanted to dance before the Lord, and you don't even feel like you can pick your feet up off the ground, and the devil has convinced you that it'll never change, and you might as well walk away, you might as well quit, you just ain't cut out for living for God, you're not as powerful as they are, and you'll never live it like your pastor can live it. I'm here to say that the devil is a liar. Amen. Amen. Yes, I understand that Jesus is the captain of our salvation, but you have to understand Jesus did not come to knock you over the head and beat you down about the problems in your life. The Bible says that he spoiled principalities and power. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He triumphed over them in it, and he made a show of them openly. I'm here to tell you. Amen. Yes, it was. Yeah. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Yeah. He did fight the battle of Jericho, and the walls did come down, but it was after the angel of the Lord, the captain of the host of the Lord, stood there and said, listen, this ain't about you, and it ain't about them. It's about God's plan being done in this battle. In the name of Jesus, amen. The man is standing there. Come here, Brother Landon. Come here. Come here. Okay. I want you to stand here. You're staring at the walls, okay? These are the walls of Jericho. This is after the battle, I think. Looks like. You're staring at the walls of Jericho. And you're trying to figure out how are we going to get an army into this city? Okay, now while you're standing there, okay? Everybody say it's impossible for him. And Landon, you feel like it's impossible. You don't want to tell them that because you're the leader. You gotta say, yeah, we can do this. But you feel like it's impossible. But while you're over there, come here, Brother Aaron. Okay. Now, he ain't an angel, but he's going to play one for a little while. this is my friend. He said, far from it. Amen. While Joshua is over here with his natural eyes, trying to figure out how are we going to make it into this city to destroy these people? He did not realize that. Now, this ain't recorded in the scripture. This is Darren Moat's version. Just like the meeting happened in the book of Job where all the angels come before God, they have another meeting. And God tells his captain of his host, he says, hey, they've crossed the Jordan River. I helped them do that. I split the water for them. And now they're living in the land. And you see little Joshua over there looking at them walls. He don't know how he's going to do it. And with men, it's impossible. But with me, all things are possible. So, captain of the Lord's host, I need you to go down there. And I need you to stare at that city until you figure out how you're going to knock those walls down. And so while Joshua, oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. While Joshua's standing here, looking at his impossible situation, and he feels like God is a million miles away, and he feels like he's come to pray and he don't feel anything and he can't hear anything and he feels like it's never going to change, he doesn't even realize that God has already sent an angel that's staring at the same situation he's staring at. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. The Holy Ghost is speaking to people in this house. There's an angel already staring at the same situation, figuring out how the Lord's host and the Lord himself are going to win the battle for Joshua. Amen. The reason this is so important is because when Joshua sees the angel, so he turns, he sees the angel has a sword drawn in his hand. He comes over here and he says, hey, bro, are you for us or are you for them? And the angel says, I'm not for either of you. I'm here for him. It's amazing. It's amazing. He falls down and worships. The ground is holy. He takes off his shoes. All is good. Okay, then both of y'all go home. Okay, so you go home, you go home. Yeah, both of y'all go home. They've both gone home. And then the Lord speaks to Joshua. And he says, I'm going to tell you how you're going to win this battle. You're going to get up. I want you to hear this, because this is the most important part. You're going to get up, and you're just going to walk. But you're not going to talk. Why? Because you can talk yourself straight out of a miracle. So I don't need you to talk. I need you to walk. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost so powerful right now. Young person, when you don't know how the walls are going to come down, I'm here to tell you, that's God's fight. In our weakness, His strength is made perfect. When you've done everything within your power and it still hasn't worked out, you just keep walking. Oh, God. And quit talking. Quit saying, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how we're going to make it through this. I don't know how I'm ever going to get over this. I don't know how these walls are going to fall. I don't know how these chains are going to break. Quit talking about it and just start walking around it. I'm going to take it a step further, because he was walking, but he wasn't allowed to talk. He still had the walls in his life, but God said, while those walls are still standing, I'm going to need you to shout. Yeah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. It's time for you to get it out of your mind that you've got to get it all together before you can worship God. You just keep walking. Quit talking and start worshiping, and walls will start falling. Hallelujah. Come on, stand together. Stand together. Amen. It's Joshua. He gets the revelation. He says, for the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Joshua got the revelation. I don't have to fight this by my own means and by my own accord, because I can't win that way. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, young person, struggling with all manner of things, you can't do it of your own power. Even the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall free me from the body of this death? You can't do it of your own accord. But I'm telling you, if you'll keep walking, and I just got to say it again, quit talking. Amen. Well, glory. How many times have you ever gone to somebody, maybe this is just a pastoral thing, I don't know. If Brother Newman was here, he would understand. Amen. But he's elk hunting. I kind of wish I was with him. Amen. Amen. How many times have you known somebody going through a situation, and you go to them, and, brother, you keep praying, it's going to be all right. And they say, well, I just don't know. These walls are so tall. These chains are so heavy. Well, brother, just keep walking. Well, it feels like I've walked around this city one time. Walls haven't fallen. You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to be hateful, I promise. There's times you just need to learn to be quiet. Because the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. It does not say the power of life and death are in the tongue. It does not say that. It says death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is where the power is at. Yes. So quit talking negative about it. Keep walking. And then when it's time to shout, you shout whether those walls have come down or not. Because you never know. You never know which time you're going to shout. And you're walking and you're shouting. And I'm not talking about your pretty little, you know, two-step. Amen. I'm talking about worship. Worship gets ugly, okay? It's not always put together. You'll throw your bobby pins and your tile need to be loosened. And you may come out of your shoes. Brother William Robertson came out of his shoes the other night, holy rolling in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the beauty of it. Joshua got such a revelation. Joshua got such a revelation that the battle wasn't his, that it was the Lord's. That a couple battles later, after Jericho, after the walls have fallen, and after they've been defeated Ai because there was sin in the camp. Amen. He's going to battle. He's fighting these kings. And the Bible says that the sun started to go down. And Joshua's already got the revelation that I'm not the center of the universe. This battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. And as these kings ran away, Joshua looks at the sun and he says, you stay right there. And then he turns to the moon and he says, you stay right there. And it happens. You know why? Because the battle wasn't his. It was the Lord's. And hear me. God will move heaven and earth for his will to be done. Now I'm going to tell you, because we're going to pray, the Lord is dealing with people in this house, all over this house. He's dealing with young people. It is the will of God for you to make it to heaven. The scripture says God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. He is not willing. It is not his will that any should perish. Okay? It's not the will of God that you're lost. Why don't you say that? Say, it's not the will of God that I be lost. I want you to say it again. It's not the will of God that I be lost. Now, do you believe that? Dealing with all the stuff you're dealing with all the problems, dealing with all the situations, dealing with all the mess. Can you believe God really wants me to be saved? Because if you can get it, if you can get it, if you can understand it, and then you can understand God wants this to happen and he can make it happen. Amen. Name of Jesus. I don't want to be embarrassing. I don't. But I want you all over the house to begin to pray. I'm going to talk to you for 2 minutes and then we're going to pray all over this house. I want you to begin to pray, young people. Close your eyes, begin to talk to God. There are people here right now. I felt it in prayer today. I feel it right now. That you are dealing with sin problems that you don't feel like you'll ever get away from. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord can fight that battle for you. The Lord can fight that battle for you. If you'll walk with him and you'll worship, you'll do everything you know, the Lord can fight that battle for you. I'm telling you, there are angels that are surveying your situation trying to figure out how to get you out of it. In the name of Jesus. I want you to lift up your hands all over the house. Come on, we're going to do this altar call withholding nothing. Come on, we're going to do this. We're going to do this altar call. We're going to pray. I'm telling you, I want you to begin to seek after God. If you came tonight and you're on the ropes or you feel like you're hanging by a thread, I want you to pray right now. God can change it tonight. He can change it in these moments. Come on, this altar's open. Find yourself a place to pray all over the house. Find yourself a place to pray all over the house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you can pray until it changes tonight. You can pray until it changes tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, don't let tonight pass you by. Don't let Jesus pass you by tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, pray until the Holy Ghost is praying through you. Come on, that's how you build up yourself on your most holy faith. You pray until the Spirit is praying through you.